All right, here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 20. Chapter 11, verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 20. Here we go. When you meet together, like we are today, you are not really interested in the Lord's Supper, it says. For some of you hurry to eat your own meal without sharing with others. As a result, some go hungry while others get drunk. And when they used to do communion, it was a whole meal. It wasn't just a wafer and a little cup of juice. It was like celebrating the Passover. Every time they would get together to celebrate this. So that's the reason why Paul says, some of you overindulge while you're doing it. Some of you overindulge in food. Some of you overindulge in liquids. And so, result, some go hungry, others get drunk. Verse 22, what? Don't you have you your own homes to eat and drinking? Or do you really want to disgrace God's church and shame the poor? What am I supposed to say? Do you want me to praise you? Well, I certainly will not praise you for this. In other words, you're taking it wrong. Your whole motive of taking this meal is wrong. And I'm not going to congratulate you for getting drunk or getting too much to eat and leaving other people out. And Paul goes, uh-uh. Now, verse 23. For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. So every time a covenant is made, there's always a bloodshed. You go all the way back to the beginning of the book of Genesis, where Adam and Eve sinned, and God made them clothes. What did he have to do? He had to kill an animal to make him some leather duds. First, so leather is okay in church, I guess, because God gave Adam and Eve some leather. So he killed some animals and he made them some clothing to cover up their body. And ever since then, when there's sin, there has to be a shedding of blood. And the cool thing about it, Jesus is here saying, and Paul's echoing it, saying, we don't need to go out and shed blood anymore for this covenant. The last and final blood to ever be shed for any covenant in Christ, in having a relationship with the Father, is done with Jesus. That's the reason why he had to shed his blood, because it was a covenant mandatory thing that God established back in the book of Genesis. And Jesus was willing to lay down his life before the foundation of the world was created. Think about it. Before everything went. It's not like you're not married, you're single. Some of you can do that. And now all of a sudden in your mind goes, I want to do anything and everything for my spouse to protect them. Even before you get married. Basically, that's the same thing that Jesus was saying. That before the foundation of this world, I want to come and do anything and everything I have to do to put a relationship back with the Father and those he created. So it's not just like, okay, let's take communion, let's get it out of the way so we can just move on with the rest. No, this is a big deal. It's the thing that separates every other thing, because there's blood, shedding of blood, and now we don't have to do it. We can participate by carrying this ritual, we can say, out. And so, continue for verse 26. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes. So every time we take this, Paul's saying, we're announcing what Jesus did for us. Every time, like today, as we take the bread, take the juice, we're announcing, thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me. We're announcing it publicly.
Okay. But verse 27, Paul starts veering towards those who are going to be reading this. And that's us. So anyone, it doesn't mean in the church, outside the church, it doesn't matter whom, anyone. Paul is saying here in verse 27, who eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the blood, the body and the blood of the Lord. I will confess, I've done this before. When I was a young lad, I was confirmed into a church. I grew up in just a regular church. Not too exciting. When I was 10, 11 years old, I thought it was the boringest thing in the world. And the thing about it, they would have communion. And all of a sudden, I got confirmed. I don't know what, at that time, I didn't know what I was getting confirmed into. I just knew I had to do it. I had to go through these classes, and then there was like two or three other of us going through it. And I just remember somebody in my class didn't like cheese. I'm like, dude, what's wrong with you? I don't remember anything I learned in that class. I don't remember them ever talking about Jesus is the way. I don't remember them talking about get into God's word and read it. I don't remember anything along those lines. Nothing stuck. But guess what? I showed up faithfully every time they had it. The pastor would lead it. He was a great old feller. Of course, he could have been 50 at that time. But the thing about it, it was just going through the motions. My parents was, oh, you're going to go through confirmation. And usually what my parents would say after confirmation, go do whatever you want. That's your choice. You got confirmed in the church. You're good. Let's raise the banner. Roy made it. And then one Sunday, all of a sudden, my parents goes, you have to dress up. Okay. Because you're done with the classes, you're getting confirmed into the church. I didn't know what that meant. And I'm not dogging confirmation, I'm just telling it from my viewpoint, okay? And so with that, we got, I don't know, sworn in? I don't know what the right words are. I mean, like I said, that's probably 10, between 10 and 12, probably 11. And as an 11-year-old boy at that my age and growing with my family, I didn't care about God. I didn't want anything to do with the church and with God. All I knew, I was doing it because my parents told me I had to. And so next thing I know, they're like, here, have some juice, have some bread. But the thing about it, they had a big old cup. Like, this tall, it was like wooden or metal, I don't remember, like a goblet. Isn't that what they're called? Big old goblet? And they would have cloth, and then they would have bread, but a loaf of bread, so there was yeast in it. And they'd break off a piece of bread, you dip it in there, and then you eat it. That's the way we did it there. I'm not saying it's the right way or wrong way, it's just the way they did it. But guess what? I wasn't saved. I should have never taken communion. Does that mean you have to be perfect to take communion? No, that's not what I'm saying. Okay? That's a long way from where I'm coming. I'm saying, when you don't even know Christ, you're taking something that doesn't belong to you. We're doing things like, because it's tradition. Well, my grandpappy and my, you know, I've gone to many, well, not many, enough masses in my life, Catholic mass,
And not once have I ever taken your communion. One, I'm not part of the Catholic Church. Two, I never wanted wine. All right? But the thing about it is that here we are. We have thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people taking communion unworthily because they don't even know Christ. In the church and outside the church. And Paul is saying, if we come in with it, and sometimes I have tried to serve some of you in the church, and you're like, nope, 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 not today, Pastor. I'm like, oh, you're not saved today? I know you were. You just might have been struggling through things. And I get it. But I've been there where I just took communion half-heartedly. It didn't really mean anything. There was no... It was just going through the motions. Let's dip the bread, put it in my mouth, and we're done. And so the thing about it, then you go, and now they got these cool, fancy little cups, and no one gets germs and stuff like that. They would wipe it off, and sometimes they'd drink, then wipe it off, drink, wipe it off. I'm like, man, that's not sanitary anymore. Back in the 80s, you could get away with it. It's amazing what you got away with back in the day, huh? A little bit more fun, too, at times. But here he is. He goes, so if anyone eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily, is guilty sinning against. We're not sinning against anything but against what Jesus did on the cross. Think about that for a moment. When we do that, when people do that, and there's ramifications to this. That is verse 28. That is why Paul's directing this to us, should examine yourself before eating bread and drinking the cup. And we'll do that here in a little bit. We should examine ourselves. Not examine Susie down the road. Or examine your spouse or your kids, because it goes back to what? A personal relationship with Christ. We need to examine ourselves. When we examine ourselves, I really don't care. I do care what other people do to a point, but it should not affect my relationship with Christ. If somebody would come in and do horrendous things to whomever, it would not hurt my relationship with Christ, because it's a personal relationship. My relationship with Christ does not hinge on if my wife is nice to me today or not. My relationship with Christ is not based on if the weather's beautiful or not. My relationship with Christ is not based on on the natural things. My relationship with Christ is based on my introspective. Am I drawing closer to God? Am I doing what God asked me to do? And then we reflect. Lord, is there any place that is not fully committed to you? You ever ask God that? Lord, is there an area in my life? And guess what? Since January 1st, there's been things He's shown me. He goes, that's not committed to me. 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 What? Lord, you know how hard that is? You haven't been committed. I mean, a committed relationship means you're committed. Like, you're stuck with that relationship. For the good, the bad, and the ugly. And sometimes the ugly outweighs the good and the bad. But a lot of times, in that commitment, there's a lot of good that you don't see because you're focusing on the bad and the ugly. And so He's been convicting me, and I knew going into it, we're going to have communion. I'm like, okay, Lord, how do you want to do this? And God goes, allow them time. Allow me time to speak to them so they can step back and say, let's examine ourselves. Because in verse 29,
goes, for if you eat this bread and cup without honoring the body of Christ, in other words, without examining yourself, without saying, Lord, if I am not doing what you asked me to do, if I'm not serving, if I'm not even saved, and I'm going to take this, Lord, forgive me. Let me forgive me of my sins and let me get saved so I can take this. I can celebrate what you did. And so, go if you are eating the bread, drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and you. This is what happens. You are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. That is why many of you are weak, sick, and some have even died. Because guess what? That blood doesn't cover you. When we take it unworthily, when we take it in a way that's just so flippantly, when we take it in a way that we just bypassed it, when we take it so, it says take it as often as you to remember. Yeah, take it often. But the thing about it, when we take it, are we living for Christ? Are we doing the things? Let's introspect, because I don't know. You know, I was talking with somebody yesterday, and we were talking about the things that took place in Minneapolis over the week. I go, the saddest, it doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on, the saddest thing about it is a lady who died might not know Jesus. I can't judge her, but I've seen the fruit. But if she died and not having the grace and mercy of God, she's not in heaven. And that's the saddest part of it all. What if we're here? Jesus, I love you, but we really don't, because we don't know him. It goes, that's why many of us are weak. And I think we all probably have taken it at times when we should have. Let's be honest. I mean, I know I have. Because I was eating wrong, because I wasn't obeying God. And I knew I was not obeying God. And so I think today, as before we take it, we're going to have a Hail King Jesus song, bud, if you want to find that. As I hand it out, I just want you to say, Lord, I'm yours. Cleanse me. And Lord, if I've taken it wrong and I have caused curses on myself, forgive me. But I can't do it for you. I'll give you opportunities to do it. Because God is a loving God and he loves to bless people. But when we go out of his protection, there is no blessings. Then it goes on. Verse 31. Here he goes again. But if we would examine ourselves, we would not be judged by God. And this way, yet when we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not condemned along with the world. In other words, when Jesus comes in and says, you're doing this wrong, he's not disciplining you in a bad way. He's disciplining you, not mad at you. Because there's something about, and if we get to the message today, there's something about having a disciplined life that brings us closer to God. Paul states that in the book of 2nd, what book we're going through? Thessalonians, chapter 3 at the end. Paul says, hey, be careful, because a disciplined life. See, when we take time and say, Lord, I want to be disciplined. How many of you are disciplined in every area of your life? Good. Me either. How many of you are disciplined in quite a few areas of your life? I mean, how about discipline in taking a shower before you come to church? Awesome. Mary? Okay. I didn't see your hand go up, so I just wanted to make sure. Thank you. But it's because why? Because you're disciplined, right? You brush your teeth every morning because you're disciplined. You do things because you're disciplined. Don't you feel better when you're disciplined in how you eat and how you exercise, how you talk to people, how you do the right thing? There's a discipline. How many of you like to exercise every day? I know there's a few. Okay, like I said, there's a few. I don't mind going for a walk, but sometimes exercising, I don't want to be that disciplined. But guess what? When you're not disciplined in an area, it affects other areas. But I'm going to encourage you, when it's hard. We just passed Quitter's Day. January 9th is considered Quitter's Day. Some of you made New Year resolutions. I'm going to read the Bible through this year, or read it every day. And some of you already said, whoops, I messed up. I want to tell you, get back on it. Keep being disciplined. Keep going back. Discipline is when you fall and get back up and do it again. You're not a failure. You just messed up. You get back up. You're disciplined. Oh, man, I messed up here. I want to get back up. And sometimes it takes us a couple days. So like, oh, I don't want to go down that road. We're back at it. Being disciplined is such a reward about it. So, dear brothers and sisters, verse 33, when you gather for the Lord's Supper, wait for each other. If you're really hungry, eat at home. So you won't be bring judgment upon yourselves when you meet together. I give you instructions about the other matters after I arrive. And so as we prepare to take communion, we'll have this song come up. And we'll serve you. And you're like, I believe if you're not saved right now, you're not living for Jesus right now, it'd be a great time to do it. You can just say, hey, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. And he's already faithful to forgive you. And maybe that's you right now, and you're like, Jesus, forgive me. Say it out loud. Say, Jesus, forgive me. Because out of the confession of our mouth, we get to confess it. And maybe you're saying, well, I'm just having a bad week. Just repent. Turn from it. Say, Lord, forgive me. I want to move on. And guess what? Clean slate. That's his grace. That's his mercy. But when we step out of it, there is no grace and mercy. And so that's the reason why he says, check yourself. So I believe everybody here now will have an opportunity to say, Jesus, what have I done wrong? But the cool thing about it, if it's something that's ongoing and it's a bad habit, get help. So that's a part of being a disciple. Being a disciple is getting help for areas you are weak. I need help with exercise. Like, you walk out. I understand. That's different. And so I need someone to come along and discipline me. I'm trying to find somebody. I'm trying to find my desire to get disciplined that way too. So there's nothing matter with saying, I am weak in this area. I need help to help me overcome it so I can be disciplined and what God's called me to do. So go ahead and start that song. And we're going to serve communion. And we'll see what the Holy Spirit has from there. Go ahead and pray and seek the Lord and ask Him. Ask Him to forgive you for taking it wrong too. The darkest day is sleep. They're on the cross they made for sin. For every curse is blood torn. What final breath and it was finished. But not the end. Thank you.
sacrifice was made as the heavens roar.
With you today, with your son. Lord, if there's anything in us, forgive us right now. Lord, we thank you. Father, we thank you, we praise you. Go ahead and turn it down, bud.
I'm guilty.
Lord, forgive us. As we have taken it wrong in the past. Forgive us for that. Lord, we took it without even thinking or the ramification of this opportunity you took for our souls. Lord, that forgive us. We thank you for that. If anybody here who doesn't know Jesus, say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins, and I desire to walk with you all the days of my life. Help me now, Lord. to live a disciplined life.
Lord, as you took the bread and you broke it, and you said, this is my body that's broken for you. Father, we thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for coming. Even before the foundation of the earth, that you already had planned to die for my sin. And you broke your body so I could receive that healing. And now, Lord, we thank you for that healing. We thank you. Lord, as we take the bread, bless it to our bodies, bring healing to our bodies. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Go ahead and take. Then at the end, he took the cup. He goes, this is the blood of a new covenant. You never have to shed blood ever again to come into the kingdom, to have a right relationship with the Father. All the blood's been taken care of by a man named Jesus. Holy God, holy man. Lord, we thank you that we have a right relationship with you. Thank you what you did on the cross, shedding your blood, all your blood. We thank you for it. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and take it. Amen. Is the flow of and make me whole. Oh, I've been found, I know nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that praise God. We thank you, Jesus. We love you. We worship you. We magnify you. You're so good and so great. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being with us this morning. Thank you for guiding us and directing us. You're so great and so mighty. And we just worship you. We glorify you. Because you are God and God alone. We thank you for that. Just come now and just be with us. guide us and direct us. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Before we somewhat dismiss, I want to open the altars for prayer. If you want prayer for anything, I'd love to pray with you. Love to see what God's going to do. We're going to sing one more song. During that song, come on up and see what God can do. We also have our reading plans for this year. They're over there on that pew. So if you want a Bible reading plan, they're from 90 days up to a year. And if it takes you longer, it's okay. It's not that big of a deal. Main thing is to read, getting God's word as often as you can. Pray as often as you can. So if you want prayer, as the song starts, we're going to sing a million miracles, but we're just going to pray at the end of the song. You're dismissed. God's doing something. So like I said, if you want prayer, come on up.
Yeah.